of Bias Check-In.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Susie, what are we checking in with?
Today, we are talking about integrity in the workplace. It can be a pesky thing, or at least if we go off the most recent news titles. EY, Ernst & Young, recently was under investigation for a cheating scandal where several of their accredited CPAs were proven to have had a little extra help. Think Suits, think season one, and you have all the information you need. And as of time of recording, Forbes just published this investigation that they did on Chris Kirchner, the CEO of Slink.io, about how he seemed to be playing golf with Tiger Woods and living very lavishly while his employees were not getting paid. These are, of course, extreme cases. It's not hard to see how both are much closer to one end of the spectrum, but somewhere between Tinder Swindler and Jordan Belfort when it comes to honesty and integrity. But before we congratulate ourselves, pat ourselves on the back on having better integrity than professional fraudsters, there are infinite little things which we all do on the daily which challenge our workplace integrity too, because not everything is so black and white.
Absolutely. And so when we say integrity, we mean the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, goody-two-shoes, with many, many other concepts in psychology and IO psychology. Integrity in the workplace is just that. It's being honest, abiding by the rules, not taking the easy way out in the workplace. So I'll be the first to keep it real and say that especially in my earliest jobs, those minimum wage, on campus, snowball chance in hell for promotion or raises, there was absolutely no incentive to not take a smoke break or two or three, to not clock out a little late on my way to class, just to make sure that the paying system counted the full hour, as long as my tasks got done. But that's also time theft. And I do want to give a shout out to the printer in the back of the financial assistance department to thank for all of my assignments being printed out neatly and for free for my college years. Also not necessarily my first form of benefits on the job. Most of us would probably okay with this kind of infractions because 15 cents a page for black and white is theft, right? Mm-hmm. But when we do things like this, where do we draw that line between this and Jordan Belfort or the cases that Susie just mentioned? Is it okay if we clock in from the parking lot? Mm-hmm. Is it okay if we decide to use sick time instead of PTO to sit in line at the DMV? How much of a sin is it when your meeting is going so freaking long and oopsie, oh, sorry, my router restarted? Like, where do we draw that line?
That happens to you quite often, Lila.
Am I losing you? We don't need to talk about that.
Well, now that we're recording online, yes, we do.
Yeah. No, to be fair, I've always been too anxious to use that excuse because I thought it was very obvious when I saw others using it.
For mine, it legitimately just stopped because the Wi-Fi just cuts out. So I just lost you.
I love that as we are saying this, your face is getting pixelated. That is the kind of cosmic comedic timing that we can't write in even trying.
But sure, we have Comcast, Xfinity, all of the things to sponsor us here now. But connectivity aside, your Wi-Fi is also not doing great today. But this is the same moral conundrums as a white lie. in the end, anything which I do, I must also allow others to do or accept from others. If we're going back to the examples from the intro, well, they were very extreme, not paying employees while you're living lavishly. But how much of an extreme do we have to like let happen? Like time theft of like, oh, 3 smoke breaks instead of I don't know how many smoke breaks you're supposed to have.
Probably none.
Cool. Well, you do have breaks, right? Like breaks are part of like normal working hours.
Not for the role that I'm thinking of.
3 smoke breaks compared to not paying employees. Little bit of a slide there. But as we mentioned, it's like, well, how quote unquote bad does it have to be for you to start caring about it or for Forbes to do a whole investigation on you?
I'm waiting for my Netflix special. Any day now.
Yep.
Agents. Only about those 3 smokes.
Just the 3 smokes. Cool.
Oh, yeah, just about that. Like, that's pretty much my peak interest right there. If we go into moral absolutism, there's that whole like, well, if I can take those breaks because the job still got done, all my tasks are taken care of, then am I okay with my coworker also taking those 3 breaks? Mm-hmm. What about my direct reports? What about my supervisor? That's when it gets really complex to me with when you start inserting other people in the equation.
Yeah.
Because think of like my student's favorite psychological concept, the Hawthorne effect. Integrity can have very, very tangible external triggers. Employees were found to be more productive when they knew they were being observed. Everyone since has either put this into practice or written term papers trying to disprove the effect. But we are much less likely to take longer breaks if we know that our boss is going to review our data. And even though I never stayed up at night feeling guilty about my breaks, I sure wouldn't walk by my boss's window on my way out. Our office was on the ground floor.
Bye. See you.
Exactly. Still sneak. Like, yeah. You're still. But if I knew that you could come in and ask me about the status of a project any moment, that is not the time to go out. So there's still that little bit of calculation in place.
Mm-hmm. But we have seen software being created to measure productivity by seeing how much people talk to each other, how much people are sitting at their desk, things like that, that like they would catch some infringement of integrity if we were to utilize them more.
Yes, but we've also seen the reels of people putting peanut butter on their mouse so that their dog can click for them while they take a nap.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's also the counter softwares where you can get a software to move your mouse for you so that your screen stays active and you're not caught slacking. So bottom line is, as long as we're going to have external reasoning, we will find external solutions as well. We're just going to call it multitasking.
There is still plenty of gray zones that you can find if you want to before you're faced with repercussions or disciplinary measures from authority. But the motivation for integrity should be intrinsic. The idea behind this is like we should be good people, not taking advantage of the other good people. You do the right things because you are the kind of person who wants to do the right things, right? Right? Flavia, right?
It's clearly up for debate.
But as far as workplace psychology goes, this is related to everyone's favorite big five personality traits.
Neuroticism? Is that it?
No. Claudia, remember classes.
Oh, shit.
I know it's been a long time.
Woman. No. Okay, the big five, quick refresher. You can use ocean or canoe as your favorite acronym of the situation. And I'm going to go with ocean because the best one is left for last, which is openness to new experiences, conscientiousness, which has all of the S's. So if I'm making your headphones painful right now, I do apologize.
But do you?
Openness, conscientiousness, extroversion. Oh my gosh, agreeableness. And then my personal favorite, neuroticism, even though it's since been rebranded because it has a little bit of a negative critical connotation to it, but we still like it.
We still like it. It's important. It truly is important for us to like measure into. So for right now, we're going to keep it.
For now, we're going to keep it. Maybe one of the future back to basics, we're going to focus on why I like it so much as a measure and the big five in general. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of intrinsic integrity, you were referring to
conscientiousness. For sure.
Fine. Goody well, two shoes.
Do we need a definition now that like you've given the whole ocean and that snippet of the big five?
You know, let's be conscientious about it. Yes.
Cool. It's individual differences in the propensity to follow socially prescribed norms for impulse control, to be goal-directed, planful, able to delay gratification, and to follow norms and rules. Follow norms and rules? We were just talking about this. Able to delay gratification. Do you remember that psych study about the babies? Like, give them the one marshmallow?
Yeah. The only reason I would have passed that is because I don't like marshmallows.
Cool. Me neither, but cool. You want to talk about the study?
So I think he was what, like 4 or 5 years old. They also have done all kind of replicas since they you can find on YouTube. If you like looking at children being cute, that's your thing. You're welcome. You're about to have a very entertaining 20 minutes. But the purpose of the study was basically to put this child in a room seemingly by themselves. Imagine your standard chair, table, and then a plate with a marshmallow on it, or insert other snack sweet of choice. Mm-hmm. And then telling the child, hey, I'm going to leave you in here. I have to go take care of something in the other room. If you wait to eat the marshmallow that I'm leaving very reachable to you, mm-hmm, until I'm back, you will get twice as much. So not just one sweet, two. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that is impulse control at its finest. The thing you want is in front of you. It's something you already know that you like, most likely. Mm-hmm. Children, sugar, fairly safe bet. What happens next? Do you control yourself or not?
Okay, cool. They said I can sit on my hands and I'll get two in 2 minutes. Perfectly good by me. Yeah, and being goal-directed, like setting up those goals for yourself and being able to stick to them and see them through. The other part of this definition that really resonates with me for some reason.
Let me count the ways. So considering all of the components of this definition, it's not hard to tell why employers love conscientiousness and conscientious employees so much. Mm-hmm. It correlates with most of the desirable workplace traits and behaviors you can think about. precision, attention to detail, goal orientation, the ability to delay gratification can also correlate with being able to take on longer, more complex projects. And following norms and rules is usually a pretty standard hygiene factors in being able to keep a job. We found a study specifically by Jackson Wood, Bug Walton, Harms, and Roberts that was published in 2010 that is aptly titled, What Do Conscientious People Do? They developed an instrument including the behavioral indicators of conscientiousness, or BIC, like the pens. Mm-hmm. And not surprising, but the list of all of the things that conscientious people do are kind of exactly what you would expect them. They are less likely to play sick to avoid doing something, or oversleep for class or work.
Mm-hmm. Missing a meeting.
There's a negative correlation between conscientious people and trying to get something without paying for it, which is a long way to say stealing or swindling. Their negative correlation with committing crimes or wearing clothes with holes in them. I guess ripped jeans don't count for this one.
Probably not.
On the other side of the spectrum, they're more likely, there's a positive correlation between conscientious people and finishing a set amount of work before relaxing. Mm-hmm. Or employee of the month, working extra hard on a project to make sure that it's done right. So the BIC has about 185 items. So these were just a few of the ones that popped out to me. Were there any that stood out to you, Susie? Anything which you recognize yourself?
Oh, I recognize myself in a lot of them. Like a very high negative correlation between conscientiousness and breaking your daily routine. At negative 0.4. Me? No. There's also others like spitting in public that I'm like,
ew.
Negative 0.22 that I'm just like, cool. Awesome. Love that for people. but like cleaning, dusting, marking things off your to-do list. Show up for work more than 5 minutes early. That's a positive correlation, 0.21. Leave for work at the exact time I had planned, 0.24. Complete assignments on time. Like, they are legitimately things that, like, give me satisfaction. There are some that are, like, very low that I found weird, but I might just not be reading it super well. Used in big short form. Cool. For example, holding the door for other people has a very low positive correlation that I thought was kind of weird, but. Or wait. Coming into restaurants knowing what I will order. That might just be a vegan thing or a millennial thing. I'm not sure. But, like, I look up menus, like, days in advance.
I mean, in your case, with all the dietary restrictions that come with being vegan, mm-hmm. It's also quite literally a matter of survival. Like, before I put in a reservation, can I eat anything here?
Yeah.
I do think that, again, millennials are very easy to make fun of. I should know, I am one. But some of the items on this inventory, to me, speak less about being conscientious and more about being anxious.
Yeah, exactly.
Like making lists or saving receipts. Do I look like I can afford yet to not return something if it's the wrong item? or there's a 0.24 correlation, positive correlation with labeling drawers in my office.
Yeah.
I bought a label maker. I'm labeling everything. It's just part of my aesthetic now.
Well, you were labeling it in Italian too for your husband.
Yes. We did start labeling it like that, but the entirety of our household folders are color-coded and labeled with all of the important paperwork that we can think of. That's not really about his, like, practical Duolingo experience.
Brushing lint or dust off someone else's clothes is at a 0.04. Like, depends on the person. Like, if I like them and I know them, I'll be like, hey, come over, like, shoo-shoo. But, like, I'm not going over by strangers and just like, hey, sorry, excuse me, ma'am, you have lint on your shoulder.
No, definitely. This is not a free pass to touch strangers with lint or hairs or whatever. Although I will say, anytime I'm in public, especially like, outside in more touristy or crowded areas right now in the summer, I do feel the very strong urge anytime I see someone walking around with their bag open or their backpack pockets open to let them know. Yeah. I don't know, again, if that's conscientiousness or just simply, hey, might as well wear a neon sign for anyone who wants to pickpocket you. That is just, again, anxiety more so than conscientiousness. The best ideal in a perfect world, we would be doing the right things because we want to be the kind of people that do the right thing. And there's a lot of different shades of gray zones between the swindlers of the world and being morally perfect, whichever figure you think you want to name as morally perfect. I cannot come up with one. Little bit of difference, of course. Situational circumstances between jaywalking and tax evasion, for example. But who are we to judge?
Don't get us started on jaywalking.
Again, is it morality, integrity, or is it not trusting drivers? The jury is not out on that one. It's definitely that I don't trust drivers.
Or not wanting to get deported.
That too. For context, for anyone who's not familiar with that, jaywalking is still coded as a crime in the majority of the United States, and it is usually the crime that gets used as an example when socializing international students to the expectations of our visas and our stays in the United States. So it's also a running joke to please don't jaywalk, because while your classmates may get their tuition paid if they get run over, you might have medical bills and be deported the moment that your caste allows you to board a plane. And with that happy note, the reminder is, at the end of the day, integrity is a skill and a muscle to be exercised, not something fixed or predetermined. So just try to do each day at least as well as you did the day before, and we should be good.
Sounds good.
Let us know what are your favorite gray areas to frequent when it comes to workplace habits. Do you take long breaks? Do you loathe when someone takes long breaks? What is acceptable? What is not in your line of work? And how do you motivate yourself to keep doing the right thing, even when it might be very, very annoying? To let us know, slide into our DMs on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Bias Check-In Podcast. Send us an email to biascheckin@gmail.com or leave us a voice note on anchor.fm, where you might also consider sponsoring us if your connection is strong enough to load the page.
Woo!
Thank you for tuning in, everyone. And as this is our first episode recorded fully remote with a new software, let us know your feedback as well, please.
Yes, as we mentioned in the last episode, half of us now lives across the country, so we are trying things out and we expect some glitches. but give us your feedback. We won't promise we will listen to it, but we might. We'll see. We'll see how we're feeling that day.
Is it a matter of integrity? No, never mind. I was going to connect it to integrity, but give us your feedback. We'll do our best. And with that, thank you so much for checking in.
We'll see you in the next one. Bye.
Ciao.